He willed himself to stop shaking, but still he shivered, his teeth banging together, his limbs twitching and jerking beyond his control. There was real pain there, too, a deep, knife-like pain that covered his body with tiny, invisible wounds, intimate and unbearable. He opened his mouth to catch the rain as it fell, moistening his cracked lips and his dry tongue, wetting the ropes that bound him to the trunk of the tree. There was a flash of lightning so bright it felt like a blow to his eyes, transforming the world into an intense panorama of image and afterimage. Then the thunder, a crack and a boom and a rumble, and as the thunder echoed, the rain redoubled. In the rain and the night, the shivering abated. The knife blades were put away. Shadow no longer felt the cold, or rather, he felt only the cold, but the cold had now become part of himself. It belonged to him, and he belonged to it. Shadow hung from the tree while the lightning flickered and forked across the sky, and the thunder subsided into an omnipresent rumbling, with occasional bangs and roars like distant bombs exploding in the night, and the wind tugged at Shadow, trying to pull him from the tree, flaying his skin, cutting to the bone, and at the height of the storm, and Shadow knew in his soul that the real storm had truly begun, the true storm, and now that it was here, there was nothing any of them could do but ride it out. None of them, old gods or new, spirits, powers, women or men. A strange joy rose within Shadow then, and he started laughing as the rain washed his naked skin and the lightning flashed and thunder rumbled so loudly that he could barely hear himself. He laughed and exulted. He was alive. He had never felt like this, ever. If he did die, he thought, if he died right now, here on the tree, it would be worth it to have had this one perfect mad moment.
"Hey!"
he shouted at the storm.
"Hey! It's me! I'm here!"
He trapped some water between his bare shoulder and the trunk of the tree, and he twisted his head over and drank the trapped rainwater, sucking and slurping at it. And he drank more and he laughed, laughed with joy and delight, not madness, until he could laugh no more, until he hung there, too exhausted to move. At the foot of the tree, on the ground, the rain had made the sheet partly transparent, and had lifted it and pushed it forward so that Shadow could see Wednesday's dead hand, waxy and pale, and the shape of his head. And he thought of the Shroud of Turin, and he remembered the open girl on Jackal's slab in Cairo. And then, as if despite the cold, he observed that he was feeling warm and comfortable, and the bark of the tree felt soft, and he slept once more, and if he dreamed any dreams in the darkness this time, he could not remember them. By the following morning, the pain was omnipresent. It was no longer local, not confined to the places where the ropes cut into his flesh or where the bark scraped his skin. Now the pain was everywhere, and he was hungry, with empty pangs down in the pit of him. His head was pounding. Sometimes he imagined that he had stopped breathing, that his heart had ceased to beat. Then he would hold his breath until he could hear his heart pounding an ocean in his ears, and he was forced to suck air like a diver surfacing from the depths. It seemed to him that the tree reached from hell to heaven, and that he had been hanging there forever. A brown hawk circled the tree, landed on a broken branch near to him, and then took to the wing, flying west. The storm, which had abated at dawn, began to return as the day passed. Gray, roiling clouds stretched from horizon to horizon. A slow drizzle began to fall. The body at the base of the tree seemed to have become less, in its stained motel winding sheet, crumbling into itself like a sugar cake left in the rain. Sometimes Shadow burned, sometimes he froze. When the thunder started once more, he imagined that he heard drums beating. Kettle drums and the thunder and the thump of his heart. Inside his head or outside, it did not matter. He perceived the pain in colors. The red of a neon bar sign. The green of a traffic light on a wet night. The blue of an empty video screen. The squirrel dropped from the bark of the trunk onto Shadow's shoulder, sharp claws digging into his skin.
"Ratatusk!"
it chattered. The tip of its nose touched his lips.
"Ratatusk!"
It sprang back onto the tree. His skin was on fire with pins and needles, a pricking covering his whole body. The sensation was intolerable. His life was laid out below him, on the motel sheet shroud, literally laid out like the items at some Dada picnic, a surrealist tableau. He could see his mother's puzzled stare, the American embassy in Norway, Laura's eyes on their wedding day. He chuckled through dry lips.
What's so funny, puppy?
Our wedding day. You bribed the organist to change from playing the wedding march to the theme song from Scooby-Doo as you walked toward me down the aisle. You remember?
Of course I remember, darling. I would have made it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
I loved you so much.
He could feel her lips on his, and they were warm and wet and living, not cold and dead. So he knew that this was another hallucination.
You aren't here, are you?
No, but you are calling me for the last time, and I am coming.
Breathing was harder now. The ropes cutting his flesh were an abstract concept like free will or eternity.
Sleep, puppy,
she said, although he thought it might have been his own voice he heard, and he slept. The sun was a pewter coin in a leaden sky. Shadow was, he realized slowly, awake, and he was cold. But the part of him that understood that seemed very far away from the rest of him. Somewhere in the distance, he was aware that his mouth and throat were burning, painful and cracked. Sometimes, in the daylight, he would see stars fall. Other times, he saw huge birds the size of delivery trucks flying toward him. Nothing reached him, nothing touched him.
Ratatusk! Ratatusk!
The chattering had become a scolding. The squirrel landed heavily with sharp claws on his shoulder and stared into his face. He wondered if he were hallucinating. The animal was holding a walnut shell like a doll's house cup in its front paws. The animal pressed the shell to Shadow's lips. Shadow felt the water, and involuntarily he sucked it into his mouth, drinking from the tiny cup. He ran the water around his cracked lips, his dry tongue. He wet his mouth with it and swallowed what was left, which was not much. The squirrel leapt back to the tree and ran down it towards the roots, and then in seconds or minutes or hours, Shadow could not tell which, all the clocks in his mind were broken, he thought, and their gears and cogs and springs were simply a jumble down there in the writhing grass. The squirrel returned with its walnut shell cup, climbing carefully, and Shadow drank the water it brought to him. The muddy iron taste of the water filled his mouth, cooled his parched throat. It eased his fatigue and his madness. By the third walnut shell, he was no longer thirsty. He began to struggle, then, pulling at the ropes, flailing his body, trying to get down, to get free, to get away. He moaned. The knots were good. The ropes were strong, and they held, and soon he exhausted himself once more. In his delirium, Shadow became the tree. Its roots went deep into the loam of the earth, deep down into time, into the hidden springs. He felt the spring of the woman called Erd, which is to say, past. She was huge, a giantess, an underground mountain of a woman, and the waters she guarded were the waters of time. Other roots went to other places. Some of them were secret. Now, when he was thirsty, he pulled water from his roots, pulled them up into the body of his being. He had 100 arms which broke into 100,000 fingers, and all of his fingers reached up into the sky. The weight of the sky was heavy on his shoulders. It was not that the discomfort was lessened, but the pain belonged to the figure hanging from the tree, rather than to the tree itself, and Shadow, in his madness, was now so much more than the man on the tree. He was the tree, and he was the wind rattling the bare branches of the world tree. He was the gray sky and the tumbling clouds. He was Ratatusk the squirrel running from the deepest roots to the highest branches. He was the mad-eyed hawk who sat on a broken branch at the top of the tree, surveying the world. He was the worm in the heart of the tree. The stars wheeled, and he passed his 100 hands over the glittering stars, palming them, switching them, vanishing them. A moment of clarity in the pain and the madness. Shadow felt himself surfacing. He knew it would not be for long. The morning sun was dazzling him. He closed his eyes, wishing he could shade them. There was not long to go. He knew that, too. When he opened his eyes, Shadow noticed that there was a young man in the tree with him. His skin was dark brown. His forehead was high, and his dark hair was tightly curled. He was sitting on a branch high above Shadow's head. Shadow could see him clearly by craning his head, and the man was mad. Shadow could see that at a glance.